Football is back in New Orleans as the New Orleans Saints report for training camp. Will Alvin Kamara be available to start the season? When will we see Michael Thomas back? We got all of that and a little bit of land yet for you on today's episode of Locked On Saints.
You are Locked On Saints, your daily New Orleans Saints podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What is good, Houdat Nation and Houdat family? Welcome into this Tuesday episode of Locked On Saints, your daily podcast covering your favorite team, the New Orleans Saints. Part of Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Thanks so much as always, making Locked On Saints your first listen of the day. Every day, don't forget that we're free and available on all podcast apps and on YouTube as well. And I'm your host, Ross Jackson, at Ross Jackson NOLA on Twitter. You can find me over at USA Today Saints Wire, Tuesdays on Locked On NFL, and here with you every single Monday through Friday on Locked On Saints. And New Orleans football is back. It is time. Training camp is officially underway. Veterans reporting today and on the field tomorrow. Locked On Saints, of course, will be out there. But of course, there are some big question marks still around the New Orleans Saints heading into this 2022 training camp. And then very likely some of these questions even going into the 2022 season. Now, of course, we'll have much to discuss when it comes to Michael Thomas, PUP. Why has this injury taken so long? Why is it taking so long for him to get out on the field? We'll break all of that down. But I want to start today with maybe the biggest story going on around with the New Orleans Saints. And it's Alvin Kamara. I think people are finally starting to realize, oh, okay, we're getting very close to August here, July 26th as I record this. And very soon, there's going to be maybe a little bit more information around the whole Alvin Kamara situation. If you have missed the Alvin Kamara situation, basically while he was in Vegas during the Pro Bowl, he got into an alleged altercation, assault, things like that, that end up stemming from that. And now there are some charges hanging over Alvin Kamara. There were two times to where they were supposed to go to their court hearing over the course of the past few months. The first time that was postponed or continued because there was no evidence for Kamara's team to review. Second time that it was postponed, it's because they got the evidence, but not enough time to review said evidence before going into the hearing. So the hearing is now set for, I believe it's August 1st. Let's just call it early August for right now, just to be safe. And that's when we're going to get an opportunity to maybe learn a little bit more about what's going to go on with Alvin Kamara and the New Orleans Saints in 2022. But it is worth asking, are we going to see this postponed again? Are we going to continue to see these continues that end up pushing, excuse me for not being brushed up on my legal jargon there, but are we going to continue to see this get postponed and pushed to the point to where maybe we don't even see discipline in the 2022 NFL season? Jeremy Fowler over at ESPN ended up reporting that the New Orleans Saints and the NFL don't really have a timeline on Alvin Kamara's suspension or discipline for his arrest. And so with that being the case, that basically can take you one way or another, right? This could mean that this ends up completely pushing to the point where we don't see any type of discipline in 2022, and then instead this ends up impacting Alvin Kamara in 2023, or it impacts him immediately in 2022. So there's one way, you know, this could go a whole bunch of different ways. What seems to feel most likely to me, considering that this first August date is just a court hearing and the legal process might continue from there, and the legal process, of course, will have to wrap up entirely before the NFL disseminates any type of discipline at all, that could mean that we end up seeing Alvin Kamara maybe face his discipline at some point during the 2022 season as opposed to beginning the 2022 season. Now, that could be really inconvenient for the New Orleans Saints, who could be in a position to make a playoff push at that time, losing a large part of their offense in Alvin Kamara. Now, a big part of that is going to be how much can you produce around Alvin Kamara before you end up losing him. So you've seen the New Orleans Saints now add guys like Jarvis Landry, Chris Olave. They expect to get Michael Thomas back. We'll talk about his timeline here in just a little bit. But a big part of this offense is always going to be Alvin Kamara. Before last year, he had 80 plus catches in each of the last, you know, every season, every year of his career up to that point. So, and then you consider all the production in the run game, the touchdowns that he scored, about to be the New Orleans Saints all-time touchdown leader in just his sixth NFL season. Losing Alvin Kamara for any amount of time, particularly during an important stretch, it's going to be a bit of a big deal. So will Alvin Kamara be available week one? It's possible. It's absolutely possible, depending upon how long these court proceedings continue and how long these court proceedings take. But the worst case scenario for the Saints might be that his suspension ends up hitting at the worst part of the season. You look at their 2022 schedule, you're opening up with three division opponents. You're opening up against familiar opponents in that case. At the end of their schedule, you've got three division opponents in the last handful of games, familiar opponents. If you end up getting a suspension or having that suspension come down during that really rough stretch for the New Orleans Saints, where they're going to, you know, where they've got Pittsburgh, where they're going to Cleveland, when they're going to Philly, that area of the schedule, that can be really, really tough for them, right? After you get sort of past that, let's say, Las Vegas Raiders game. So for the New Orleans Saints, it's almost better that this stuff kind of not necessarily fizzles out. I mean, it'd be great for it to fizzle out and just not be a thing anymore, kind of like what we saw with Marshon Lattimore's case, where the charges were just dropped after a while. But that's probably not going to happen with this. But the best case scenario for the Saints outside of that might be that this moves quickly and that they end up getting the suspension out of the way early on in the season and then be able to have him back for the stretch run, the final 11 games of the year. Now, what are the New Orleans Saints going to do without Alvin Kamara? Well, they'll probably look to shift to a little bit more of a committee approach with Mark Ingram, Tony Jones Jr., and then we'll see what third running back ends up popping up from there. Could be a guy like Abram Smith, of course, the undrafted free agent running back out of Baylor that a lot of folks are excited about, that we'll be looking at throughout training camp. Very excited to see him. Dwayne Washington, who's been with the team for some time. Divine Azigbo, who's been on and off with this team. But the Saints are also still looking at other options. Just last week, they brought in offensive player of the year over at the USFL in Darius Victor, who of course is a former New Orleans Saint himself. And then this week, they're expected to bring in former Chicago Bear and Philadelphia Eagle Jordan Howard, who's maybe not necessarily as completely versatile as Alvin Kamara, but he can catch some passes out of the backfield and has a, you know, a couple of 900,000-yard rushing seasons in his career. But he's not going to be the guy that he was in Chicago. But what could he be in a rotation with Mark Ingram, Tony Jones Jr., and the like? That's where the New Orleans Saints will need to sort of have their plan ready to go, just in case this all moves quickly. But the fact that it has no timeline, there's just not much to expect here. So I think the Saints right now, they're just continue to plug forward, make sure that Alvin Kamara is ready for the season so that if he's available week one, they get him out on the field, but then also continue to build their contingency plans behind him, because there's a lot of questions to answer at that position behind Alvin Kamara. Now, while the New Orleans Saints await all that is going on around Alvin Kamara, there are additional questions to ask over on the offensive side, like how quickly will Michael Thomas be ready? Let's continue our not time to hit the panic button around Michael Thomas on the PUP list conversation as we continue on with today's episode of Locked On Saints. But first, I want to tell you about our friends over at Dave. Look, every now and then you end up needing a little bit of help, right? If you're doing a paycheck to paycheck type of situation, struggling to make ends meet, things like that, it can be hard. It can sometimes be really stressful to make sure that you're covered in case any of those unexpected expenses come up. Well, now Dave can help you out in a pinch when you really need it. Dave is an online banking app that can give you up to $500 instantly with what they call extra cash. That's more money to fill your tank. That's more money to maybe grab a bill that you need to get or help you out with some of those unexpected expenses that can arise at any time. Best of all, there's no interest. There's no credit check that's needed. And millions of people are already using and have downloaded the Dave app to get the financial relief that they need with extra cash. So go and download the Dave app in the App Store right now. That's D-A-V-E. Sign up for extra cash. That way you can get up to $500 instantly. For terms and conditions, make sure you check out dave.com/legal. Instant transfer fees do apply. Banking is provided by Evolve, member FDIC. Check out the Dave app today. Future you will thank you. All right, family, continuing on with today's episode of Locked On Saints. Appreciate you as always. Make a Locked On Saints your first listen of the day every day. So we were talking a little bit about Alvin Kamara and sort of breaking down like what the timeline is there. It's all very fuzzy. But there is a little bit more of a, let's say, intelligible timeline when it comes to Michael Thomas, New Orleans Saints wide receiver. The Saints have expected to have him cleared and are expected to have him back early on in training camp, but he was just moved to the physically unable to perform list. So how could those two things happen? And how did we get to this place all told, all together, right? So let's start off with the timeline for right now for Michael Thomas. Yes, he's on the physically unable to perform list, but in case you didn't catch Monday's episode, just as a quick refresher, the physically unable to perform list has two different designations, one of which takes place if you're on the physically unable to perform list during training camp. Another one, if you're on that otherwise called PUP list or PUP list, to start the season. There are two different things. If you're on the PUP list to start the season, September 11th this year, week one, then in that case, you are expected to miss the first six games of the season. Then you get a 3-week sort of ramp up period to try to get back out on the field, get into practice, all of that. If you can't get back out onto the field after those 3 weeks, so by the ninth week of the season, basically, then your season is done, you're shut down, and you're on injured reserve. That's what happened to Michael Thomas last year. That's what a lot of people are remembering right now when they hear that Michael Thomas and Marcus Davenport are on the physically unable to perform list or the PUP list. But the thing is that we're not to the regular season yet. We're just now getting the training camp, which is very exciting to cross this threshold, but we're not to the regular season yet. So the idea of Michael Thomas missing six games to start the season or being guaranteed to miss six games to start the season, that's not what's happening here. What's happening here is that the Saints put him on the physically unable to perform list because he's expected to miss some practice. Same thing with Marcus Davenport. That's the easiest way to go ahead and make sure that you have the flexibility that you need early on in training camp. But the expectation is that he will still be cleared within the first few weeks of camp before we get into maybe preseason games, before maybe we get into those joint practices with the Green Bay Packers and all that for the Saints. That's maybe the timeline in terms of Michael Thomas. But the expectation here and the ability that they have here with the PUP list is that they can take him off of that list at any time during training camp. The only thing that keeps him out for the first six games of the season is if he's still on that list, or Marcus Davenport for that matter, when the season begins. So right now, being on the PUP list, we're chilling. We're sitting back. We're good. Everything's fine in terms of what you should expect from Michael Thomas. He's still on track. And a lot of folks have also asked, how can he be on track when he has missed effectively 1.5 seasons with an ankle injury? But you have to remember, it's not just the ankle injury that has kept him out for this long or that has prolonged his return to the New Orleans Saints. Yes, he had the ankle injury at the beginning of the 2020 season against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Then he played on it throughout the entire 2020 season, effectively, until he finally shut himself down at the end of the year and said, okay, team made the playoffs. I'm taking the last 3 weeks. I'm going on injured reserve, but I'll be back for the playoffs. Then he came back for that playoff game, the win against the Chicago Bears, and then the loss against the Tampa Bay Bucs, if I remember. Yes, against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Then in 2021, going into the offseason there, the Saints ended up having a situation to where the communication wasn't great between the organization and Michael Thomas. The procedures and the rehab progress that he was expected to make during that time wasn't made. There's not a reason to point fingers there. It's all past everything, but there's a lot of shared responsibility there regardless. So then you look at Michael Thomas not getting the offseason surgery, not going through the offseason rehabilitation programs, and the Saints not knowing that until minicamp, mandatory mini. So like a couple of weeks ago last year is when they learned about that. So with that being the case, he didn't have the first ankle surgery to repair that ankle until like July of last year, so about 12 months ago. But it didn't stop there. Because even still, you might say, well, it's been a year. Shouldn't he be ready? Possibly. However, there was a botched procedure, botched tightrope procedure is what it's called, during that surgery. And so he ended up having to have corrective surgery sometime around November of last year. So he's only about 9 months removed from the corrective surgery. So it's not just that he has missed time with an ankle injury. He has missed time with an ankle injury that he played on, that they didn't get the correct procedure done in time on during the regular season, that he didn't get surgery on, that then got surgery on, and then the surgery got botched, and then had to get a corrective surgery. So now we're down the rabbit hole here of six different reasons why Michael Thomas is still in a situation where he's on the physically unable to perform list to open up camp. But reports are that when he is medically ready, he is ready to get out on the field. So as soon as that happens, then he's out there and he's ready to go. And this is a guy that's going to be hungry by the time that he hits the field. Because just as much as you want Michael Thomas out on the field, it's not even half as much as how much Michael Thomas wants to be out on the field, right? This is something he has dedicated his entire life to. And he's not going to be in a situation to where he's just going to sit back and like collect some money to not go out there and do what it is that has been his life's calling and his life's dedication throughout his entire lifetime. So when Michael Thomas gets back out on the field, expect him to make a major impact and expect that timeline to maybe be sooner rather than later in the next few weeks or so. Just because he's on that physically unable to perform list does not mean that he's missing regular season action. The big question is going to be, once he's medically cleared, is he still some version of the same Michael Thomas that has been dominant since the last time that we saw him out on the field, completely healthy, catching 149 passes for over 1,700 yards and 9 touchdowns, where he was setting NFL records. Again, he doesn't have to be that guy, but how much of that guy can he be after coming back from this injury? And what is he going to be in tandem with Jameis Winston as opposed to Drew Brees? Because the connection between he and Drew Brees was so unique and so specific. The connection between he and Jameis Winston is sure to be unique and specific as well, and could even potentially open up the third level for Michael Thomas with Jameis Winston at the helm as well. So lots of good stuff to look forward to when it comes to Michael Thomas, but don't get distressed simply in the fact that this has taken a while to get him back out on the field and that we're going to have to wait a little bit longer. This is exactly what we expected, that there would be a slow ramp up period and that he might not even be ready to go out there the first day of camp. And that's exactly what we're seeing here. There's no surprises. No one's in shock. No need to panic at all when it comes to Michael Thomas, at least not right now. Coming up next, we're going to wrap up today's episode by just appreciating the fact that football is back in New Orleans and New Orleans Saints bringing in a big time sack producer, a big time pass rush producer for a visit. Let's talk a little bit about Chris Odom, get you introduced to the USFL Defensive Player of the Year that is visiting with the New Orleans Saints. We'll wrap up today's episode as we continue on here in just a moment. Let's get it, Houdat Nation. Wrapping up today's episode of Locked On Saints in celebration, right? Football is back in the city of New Orleans. New Orleans Saints reporting back for training camp. One quick story for you real quick that I thought was really interesting. New Orleans Saints not only bringing in Darius Victor last week, who was the former running back, spent time with the New Orleans Saints, former New Orleans Saints running back, but was also the USFL Offensive Player of the Year. Well, this week, they're also bringing in Chris Odom, who is the USFL Defensive Player of the Year. Chris Odom, 6'4", 262-pound defensive, and had himself an absolute year in the USFL. Nick Underhill here tweeting this out. 12 and a half sacks. He also had 4 blocked kicks, 6 forced fumbles, and 8 tackles for a loss. So needless to say, he was really, really good for in the USFL. Now, of course, that won't necessarily translate to the NFL. Chris Odom does have some NFL experience. He spent some time with the Green Bay Packers, the Atlanta Falcons, and also the Washington Commanders, who were going by a different name at that time. During those stints, particularly with Green Bay and Washington, he appeared in 11 games, had a couple of sacks, 2 sacks, 2 quarterback hits, you know, some production here and there, 2 tackles for a loss as well, about 16 combined tackles and all of that. During his Arkansas State days, put up a little bit more production in his 4 years playing defensive end with Arkansas State, 15 and a half sacks. That includes a 12 and a half sack season in 2016, his final year as a over in Arkansas State. Now, you're wondering why Arkansas State sounds familiar. That's also where DeMario Davis went for college and played his collegiate years as well. I just spent a couple days in Arkansas. He also had 4 passes defended, and I was just looking to see if I could, and 4 forced fumbles as well. So you can tell he's kind of a big hitter a little bit there by the amount of forced fumbles that we continue to kind of bring up and talk about every time that we kind of look over at all these. Even in the NFL, he forced a fumble during his time with the Green Bay Packers. So you're looking at a guy right here that is looking for another opportunity, basically, and really showed out during the USFL or with the USFL, and now looking to get another opportunity with the New Orleans Saints. But why another defensive end? And I think that this is something the New Orleans Saints have done a little bit over the course of the past few seasons. Guys like Noah Spence, Taco Charlton this offseason, they're always sort of making sure that they're generating competition at these really important positions. And that's something that Dennis Allen has been doing over the course of this entire offseason. You look at Alante Taylor being added to the cornerback room. You look at the wide receivers that have been added, including Jarvis Landry and Chris Olave. You look at the linebackers that they've brought in, Joe Schobert, to get a look at. They draft DeMarco Jackson. They end up signing Eric Wilson. So they're bringing in all of these linebackers. They're generating competition all over the place, but they've been doing it pretty consistently at premier positions like wide receiver, cornerback, left tackle is probably a good example as well. And then now you're seeing it on potentially on the defensive line at defensive end, specifically at edge rusher as well. So just something to keep an eye out on, right? The New Orleans Saints consistent in that way. We're also seeing them bring in more running backs as well. Like we mentioned, Jordan Howard coming in, who I feel like fits the same mold as like Mike Gillisley and Shane Vereen and Devontae Freeman from last year. These guys that they've brought in over the past few years, over recent seasons, over the course of the offseason, just to get a quick look at and everything. And so I think the Saints will continue to do that. But really interesting to see them go USFL Offensive Player of the Year, USFL Defensive Player of the Year, and getting a look at both of those players. So we'll see. Perhaps a contract materializes. But remember, any contract that materializes at this point doesn't necessarily mean that the player is going to make the roster either, but still getting a look at some top competition that's available around, or some top talent that's available around, in order to generate competition during camp. Always a good thing. And speaking of camp, we're here. We're here. We made it. We made it a whole offseason, another whole offseason. And I just wanted to express excitement, honestly, around the fact that, you know, starting tomorrow, we'll be out there. We'll be out at camp. The plan is still to do two-a-days, do a live show as soon as I can get back after camp, and then do a more focused show later on. So the plan in terms of programming here on Locked On Saints moving forward is that any day that the New Orleans Saints practice, we'll have an episode. And we'll only not have an episode if they don't practice on a weekend. So that would be like a Sunday, for instance. So the plan is basically to do a live show after each practice that basically gives you all of the different observations that I had, that other, you know, reporters that are going to be there have, other analysts, everybody's kind of like, you know, we all kind of work together. And so bring you a whole bunch of observations during that time. We'll organize it. You know, we'll look at players that stood out. We'll categorize everything. You know, Jameis Winston updates, Michael Thomas updates, biggest play. Did the offense win the day? Defense win the day? We'll do all of that throughout those live shows. But then at the end of the day, also putting out for you a pre-recorded episode that takes the three biggest observations that you need to know more about and go more in depth on them. So that way you get both. You get all of the observations out there throughout the day so that you're not missing anything and you're staying up to date. And then later on in the night, I'll craft something that's a little bit more in depth on the three biggest things you need to know about. Or if there's one big thing that you need to know, then we'll spend, you know, all the entire show looking at it from a couple of different perspectives and breaking it all down. So just making sure you're getting the most important, but also still getting everything from Saints camp. So very excited to be able to bring all of it to you. Thank you again for helping us grow to a position to where we get to be present for that fully credentialed here, locker room, games, training camp, everything. And it's all because of you. So thank you very much for all of your support. And thank you very much, as always, for making Locked On Saints your first listen of the day. We are expecting to hear from some folks tonight. So tomorrow's episode is going to be breaking down all of that, how the New Orleans Saints are approaching training camp, what their plans are heading into training camp, all of that. So you're going to get basically three episodes tomorrow. You're going to get one that's going to break down everything that we learn later on today. Then you're going to get your immediate, your live show once I get back after camp, and then you'll get your more focused three segment show later on in the day. So a very busy Wednesday on the way, and I hope that you are here to stick through it. You've been here with me throughout the entire offseason. Looking forward to training camp and the regular season as well with our Locked On Who Dats family. I appreciate y'all as always for making us your first listen of the day every day here on the Locked On Saints podcast. For your second listen, go and check out Locked On NFL. David Harrison stood in for me on the Tuesday episode. He and Luke Braun breaking down all of Mike Sando's quarterback tiers, some Lamar Jackson talk, all that good stuff over there. Everything you need around the league in less than 30 minutes. As always, y'all, I appreciate you so much for making me a part of your routine. If you see me, say hi, and I'll see y'all tomorrow. But for everything you need in between these episodes on your New Orleans Saints, make sure you hit me up on Twitter at Ross Jackson, N-O-L-A. Hit me up. Let me know how the family's doing. Let me know how you're living. Let me know how you're mom and them. And trust you, that nation. I'll holla at you.